Dads on the air, we're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network through the studios of Fine Music 102.5. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and with me in the studio today is Ken Thompson.
Hello, everybody.
And our guest today is Dr. Barry Golding. Barry is the adjunct professor at Federation University Australia and editor of the new book, The Men's Shed Movement, The Company of Men. Barry is the patron of the Australian Men's Shed Association, and he's a past president and board member of Adult Learning Australia. Barry, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bill, and hi, Ken.
Hi, Barry.
So, Barry, the book is subtitled The Company of Men. I think there's a story related to that title as well.
There is. Bill, Dick McGowan, who created the first men's shed in the world in 1998, it was opened, he envisaged that and stressed that it should be the men themselves who are responsible. And one of the innovations of the men's shed is that it's the men themselves, or what he termed the company of men with a capital C and a capital M. So that's why I've used the subtitle in honour and acknowledgement of Dick McGowan's invention.
Yes, Barry, the Men's Shed is an iconic movement in Australia, and it's even been recognised in song. I think John Williamson's got a song, Every Man Needs a Shed, which states some of the principles that guide the sheds movement.
Well, in fact, John Williamson's song came out in 1995 before any of the community men's sheds had actually been created. But in my book, I stress that the message that John Williamson was giving out in the mid-90s, combined with a whole lot of other things that were happening in South Australia, led people to, some people to try some experiments outside of the backyard shed and in a community space.
Yes, of course, men's sheds in Australia really started, would you say, mid-1998?
It's slightly more complicated, but the first sheds were just called the shed. There was no men's shed until 98, but there were a few sheds in South Australia, including one that started in Goolwa in South Australia in 1993, where they called it the shed, simply called the shed. But for 5 years, there was a number of other sort of experiments, but none of them actually were titled a men's shed. And aside from being very clear about what he'd created, Dick McGowan was an excellent publicist. And one of the reasons why sheds took hold so quickly after 98 was that he got the attention of the media. Firstly, he got a pretty punchy article, which was in the National Australia Bank magazine, which went all around Australia. It was called Community Link. The other thing he did, he went to a current affair. There was an article on the current affair, and he also got an article in the Weekly Times. So he was not only an interesting man in terms of the theoretical thinking behind the men's shed, but also in terms of publicising his idea.
Yes, you need someone like that as a driving force to get things moving, don't you, with a new movement like this?
Well, yes, it really did kick-start it in a big way. Lane Cove in Sydney was probably the second. But because of that article, the shed sprung up fairly quickly in quite diverse and widespread places. The one in Port Augusta in South Australia was probably third men's shed in the world, Bendigo. And all of these had obviously, based on my research, had read the article in the or seen the program on TV.
You devoted quite a bit of time in the book to the name Men's Sheds. Is there, and there is an issue there, I suppose, in that it's referred to as gender blind. So you don't call it the men's and women's sheds or the people's shed or anything. It's the men's sheds.
Yes, and again, without making it too complicated, it's even more complicated than that. Some men's sheds choose to include women in some way. Some of them have, a small number have men and women as equal members. And some have a men's shed most days, but there might be a women's shed on a particular day. Many of them have women on committees. And one of the things I stress in the book is that while it probably works better if it's mostly or only men, that without women behind some of this, but without acknowledging the women who are often behind the men who come to the shed, without women this would not have happened. So I'm actually quite strong about this, and I think while it is a men's shed, I think that we have to acknowledge that it's also good for women, for many women. So that's what I argue in the book.
Yes, and you've been closely associated with this movement for some 15 years. It must be very satisfying for you to see it spreading not only around Australia, but now it's international. There's New Zealand, UK, Ireland, and some sprouts in Canada and the US.
Yes, and there's 9 sheds now open in Denmark. There was only one open when the book was published in August, but there's actually 9 sheds open in Denmark. So it's quite a remarkable movement. I should stress, I didn't invent it. I just happened to discover it reasonably early on, and it's become one of the things that I've studied. But, you know, the work of the National Association in Australia, in Ireland, in England, in New Zealand has to be acknowledged. And, of course, the movement itself is driven by the sheds themselves and by the men who are involved. So I'm acknowledging here that really it's a grassroots movement, and although I'm chronicling what has happened in the book, which I think is timely and important, I certainly didn't invent it. I'm just describing, I'm trying to describe what I see, but obviously I've also been involved in it in some way.
It really is something that's taken off, and inevitably there are going to be tensions when something grows as quickly as that. I'm interested as to why Queensland developed so much later than the other states in Australia. Can you put your finger on why the reason might be there?
Look, it's funny. The first shed started there probably 8 or 9 years after elsewhere in Australia. I don't actually think there was anything weird about why they didn't start there. I actually think it was just that no one had really taken it up. I think it takes a particular set of circumstances to get somebody with the get up and go to do it and to demonstrate that it can work in a new situation. That happened in Western Australia with a small number of iconic sheds, and once that happens, it takes off. And I think that happened in Queensland. The first shed didn't start in New Zealand until 2007, and in Ireland in 2008. But once those first sheds get started and show that they can work, it creates, if it's done properly, it creates a particular momentum. Another good example of that is in Scotland. I mean, there's only one shed in Scotland until 2 years ago, and now there's around, at last count, there was probably around 50 that were either open or opening.
That is fantastic, isn't it?
So it's really, it's quite remarkable what's happening.
Mm. And we're speaking with Dr. Barry Golding, Adjunct Professor of Federation University Australia and Editor of the Men's Shed Movement, The Company of Men. We're going to take a short break. Barry, would you like to pick the song for us? Perhaps tell us why you picked it.
Yes, I've asked you to play a WAIF song, which is called Since I've Been Around. And for me, it harks back to who I am and where I come from. I was born in northern Victoria in a small town, and the words, the closest, the words and the imagery in the song comes closest to how I position myself in a rural landscape, having come out of the country. And I guess I had strong affinities to small towns and to rural Australia, which is where many of these men sheds have taken the strongest foothold. So it's about me, but it's also about community and about reflecting on who we are and where we come from.
Okay, so this is by the very Australian band called The Waifs. It's Since I've Been Around.
Walking down the main street of the town where I was born, looking at these things I've seen so many times before. I take a deep breath, smile, and kick a stone along the ground. Been so long since I've been around. Well, there's comfort in the way that everything still looks the same. People that I bump into, they call me by my name. It almost feels as though I never even left this town. Been so long since I've been around. And my girlfriend, she lives on Horton Street. Man, was she a sight. Sometimes I would sneak into her bedroom late at night. But now she's not there, I'm told her family long since left the town. Been so long since I've been around. Yeah, many of my friends, they found some other place they'd rather be. But I still know one good mate, she's gonna keep me company. Well, I think I'm gonna call her up. We'll go and paint the town. Been so long since I've been around.
And that was Since I've Been Around by The Waifs. And we're speaking with Adjunct Professor Barry Golding about his new book, The Men's Shed Movement, The Company of Men. So we've talked a little bit about the growth of men's sheds.
Yeah, and can I stress it's 30% of sheds that are now open in the world are outside of Australia. There's about 1,000 in Australia. There's probably around 500 overseas, including 300 now open in Ireland and approaching 180 open in the UK. One a day, we're estimating, is opening around the world, which is quite phenomenal.
It is phenomenal, and I must say that I always enjoy going, when I go to a new country town, I look for the men's shed sign, and I can nearly always find one, which is it's always exciting to see it there.
It is, and, probably even 10 years ago, I would have said, I wouldn't have predicted that this would have happened. Although I could see something powerful in the model, I wouldn't have imagined that it would have become such a force for change in community, particularly amongst older men.
Mm. So that brings us to, what do people actually do in these men's sheds, and which men actually tend to go to them?
In Australia, the median age is around 70, so half of the men are younger than 70, but half of the men are older than 70. So it's particularly attractive, given your interests and the interests of your network. It's particularly interesting for men who are not in work. who tend more to be grandfathers than fathers. They sheds have got particular pull in a lot of small regional communities, and in some very small places they've become de facto community centres where the men in the community are taking the lead and shaking and moving both their own lives and the life of the community.
There's an image of men, older men, doing just woodwork, but does it actually extend to other interests?
It's much broader, and it's a sort of it's a stereotype that people are just doing stuff with wood in sheds, while some men are doing stuff with wood, and many sheds have woodworking facility. If it was just wood, I don't think you'd have anywhere near as many men involved. I mean, some sheds have got almost no tools. They've just got a sign that says men's shed, and men come and they do stuff, but it need not be with wood. It might be with metal. It might be with cars. It might be with machinery. It might be with... it might be just having a cup of coffee. Mm. It might be having a breakfast once a week. One of the powers of the model is that it doesn't define by... To give a simple example that I use in the book, I say Buninyong men's shed. Well, Buninyong specifies where it is. Men's suggests that it's mostly or only men. And shed means the space. But what actually happens in it is not dictated to or defined by the name of the organisation. So my argument is if you were to call it a men's woodwork shed, you'd only get men who are interested in woodwork. But if you call it a men's shed and just give it a name, it'll attract men who simply want company, or it'll attract men who simply want to contribute to the community, or it attracts men who come for a whole range of other reasons. Yes. So, in a sense, it's a gathering place. It's more about the company of men than doing stuff with wood. Wood can be the activity, and is in some or many sheds.
And I guess there is a big variety. I mean, you hear the story about a shed, they'll put a lawnmower on the table and the men all gather around and all give their opinions. And at the end of a couple of hours, the lawnmower isn't fixed, but they all got to know each other.
Exactly. And while having a fixed lawnmower is one outcome, the other important and probably the main outcome is that it's connected people. It's getting men to share what they know and what they can do rather than what they can't do. And a lot of the service-based interventions we tend to do with sometimes through well-meaning men's health and men's well-being people is to provide services for men. What the men's shed model is actually empowers men to take control of their own lives and to help other men through the community. So what I actually stress in the book is that this is not about customers, clients, patients or students. It's about men as co-participants in an activity. And so it's about, if you really want to look at it from a theoretical perspective, it's coming out of theories of sociology, which are to do with agency. It's coming out of theory that I use in adult education about men doing stuff in communities of practice. It doesn't matter what the practice is. It can, as I say, be fixing a lawnmower or doing wood or just practice of having a yarn. Mm. It's quite a powerful thing to put men in a shed like that, and just to see what happens. And I stress in the book that it's not just health, it's not just adult learning, it's not just occupational therapy, it's not just gerontology. It's all of those things together. You know, men's lives in retirement, beyond paid work, with a disability, all of those things happen to men without without them necessarily needing to be named as being aged care or gerontology or adult education or men's health. But my argument is that it's about all of those things in combination, and that's why it works.
Yes, and it definitely does work. Look, there's so many things we could talk about here in this very successful movement, but we've run out of time again. So, Dr. Barry Golding, I wonder if you could tell us what your choice of song is for us to go out on.
Yes, I've chosen a Bob Dylan song, which is Forever Young. Bob Dylan was one of my heroes, and when I ride my exercise bike and put my headphones on, it's often Bob Dylan in my ears. I like the Forever Young song because it's an exhortation from Dylan that age and aging is not necessarily a bad thing, and that all of us have identities which go back to childhood and adolescence, and in the case of men, back to manhood, and that being a citizen is about also acknowledging that you're not just old. It's about acknowledging that youth and some of the things that happened in our youth are with us at any age, and that's, I think, the message in Forever Young. Could I just chuck in that if anybody does want the book, I'm not sure you're going to mention it, but people can get the book. It's on the Common Ground publishing website in the US, but if people want a copy, they can get it directly from me, simpler and cheaper, just by emailing me. And can I give the details?
Yes.
B.Golding at federation.edu.au. And if you just send me an email, I'll tell you how to get it. Basically, it's either by funds transfer or check. But just send me an email and tell me what your postal address is, and I can post one out to you. And they're posted in Australia, they're $50.
Look, that's great. We'll put all that information on our website. So this is Forever Young by Bob Dylan.
Okay.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung, and may you stay.
hands always be busy. May your feet always be swift. May you have a strong foundation when the winds of change shift. May your heart always be joyful. May your song always be sung. And may you stay.
And that was Forever Young by Bob Dylan. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. If you want to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to the website dadsontheair.com.au and you can send us an email anytime and we'll be in touch. So it remains for me now just to give a very special thank you to our guest today, Dr. Barry Golding. Barry, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And I hope that people read the book. And there's some strong messages in there, particularly in the section about what this all might mean, because I think we need to find new ways of working with men. And all is not right for men in many developed countries. And I just think I'm not saying that men sheds are the answer to everything for all men, but they do provide important messages about new ways of working with men and particularly for men working for themselves.
Yes, the very important book, The Men's Shed Movement, The Company of Men. Go to our website and you can get full details on how you can acquire your own copy of it. So until next week, it's goodbye from Dads on the Air, and we'll be back next week with another show.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Ken.